this magic moment. So different and so new, was like any other, until I met you. And then it happened.
Well then, it's time for another episode of This Magic Moment. I watched the third Harry Potter movie this morning, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. This is an interesting one. It seems to be kind of a transitionary movie. I'm not sure. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know what happens in the next one. For the first half of this movie, I thought that, this might be the best one yet, but it kind of falls apart in the end. It's pretty anticlimactic. We've got the requisite peek into Harry Potter's non-Hogwarts life, and they seem to have way dialed back the abject child abuse and awfulness of his family. I'm not sure if that was a conscious hey, let's these are supposed to be fun, whimsical movies. Let's not make Harry's home life too depressing. So I'm not sure if that was a conscious effort or the uncle in particular seems a little bit afraid of Harry Potter's magical abilities this time around. So that might be why. Harry is doing naughty things under the sheets in his bedroom in one of the early scenes, and the uncle keeps barging in, turning on the lights, and then back out while Harry pretends to sleep. The awfulness seems to have been pushed on to he's got another aunt who shows up for a visit, and she seems to be the one to take the reins on being kind of a bitch to Harry. And this is not a good time for being a bitch to Harry, because Harry is 13 years old now and he's an angsty teen. So she starts talking that nonsense about Mr. and Mrs. Potter, and Harry is not having it. He tells her to shut up several times, and then he blows her up like a balloon, and she flies away in the night. Even the uncle doesn't seem mad at Harry as he normally would be whenever all this magic nonsense was happening, but just kind of like, you change her back, please, unballoon my sister. And Harry's just like, no way, she was being a total bitch, dude, so she deserved it. So anyway, the opening kind of these things tend to end with, there's, I'm starting to see a bit what the formula is of these movies. There's the first one, what happened in the first one? I don't remember what happened in the first one, where he's whimsically taken away somewhere. The second one was like the flying car to Hogwarts. This one, angsty teen Harry Potter decides to run away from home, and he gets picked up by the night bus, and I enjoyed the night bus sequence, driving around in a ghost bus around town. I liked the turn in the crank thing to squeeze the night bus in between the two other regular buses. That was fun. The shrunken head with the Jamaican accent in the night bus is a bit of an odd choice. I hope to God that was voiced by an actual Jamaican man and not somebody, God forbid, a white person doing an accent. That this whole movie may need to get canceled. But anyway, that was an odd choice. This one, at least in the beginning, seemed to be kind of embracing the more kind of silliness of it, which I kind of liked. Because there's a lot of I'm not like a Lord of the Rings super fan. I think I've only seen the movies one time, but I see a lot of parallels, and I'm not sure who ripped off what. But sometimes over the last few movies, the Harry Potter tendency is to become very serious. And, you know, the bad guy's name is Sirius in this movie. That's a connection I just made right now, and probably the only person to ever make it. But the beginning part was a little bit more silly, like the night bus thing and the Jamaican shrunken head. I liked Harry's monster book of monsters, even though that was very clearly basically kind of a slapsticky, like Necronomicon from Army of Darkness / Evil Dead 3. But I'll allow it. Yeah, and yeah, speaking of Lord of the Rings, we've got the Dementors in this movie, just like scary. They're basically the Ring Wraiths from Lord of the Rings, but like scary ghosts who are searching for the prisoner of Azkaban who escaped, one Sirius Black, and you know he's a bad guy because they keep showing animated wanted posters of him around town where while he's taking his full motion mug shots, he's just screaming at the camera like a madman, which is another trope of these movies that's developing. I'm curious to see how it progresses in the series, but the more obviously evil they paint a character to be in these movies, the more likely that they're going to turn out. There's going to be a shocking twist that they're actually a really cool, nice person. So that's what happens with Sirius Black, the character that I don't think we've heard about until this movie. This evil bad dude, he escaped from prison, and everybody's doing a terrible job of keeping it a secret from Harry Potter that this guy was working for Voldemort, and he was kind of like the Judas who sold out Harry's parents and sent Voldemort after them. I'm not sure entirely what exactly he did other than to just say this is where they live. But anyway, something about when Harry was not able to be murdered by Voldemort, that somehow created a negative effect for Sirius Black, because, you know, he loves Voldemort, and his boss was embarrassed by the boy who lived. And so he wants to come kill Harry Potter, is what everybody thinks. It, of course, spoiler, it turns out in the end, no, he wasn't trying to kill Harry Potter at all. He loves Harry Potter. I'm not sure why he came to Hogwarts. I don't really understand the motivations of why he's at Hogwarts if he's not there to kill Harry. Maybe it was just so that he come and invite Harry Potter to be his new roommate. That's Harry is once they find out he's a good guy, Harry is very pumped about, you know, getting a place on the beach with his godfather that he just met, who he thought 10 minutes ago was responsible for the murder of his parents. So those are the stakes. Harry sees his opportunity to get out of his terrible aunt and uncle and cousin's house and live with dirty Gary Oldman. I'm not sure why he's there, but the Dementors that we first meet on the train, who for some reason almost murder Harry Potter on the train, but luckily the new professor of defense against the dark arts or whatever he's called was there to save the day. But then we find out that Hogwarts just has hired all of these ring wraiths to guard the place very terribly. They don't do a very good job of it, but Anyway, so that's basically that's the setup of the movie. Sirius Black has escaped and he's there to kill Harry Potter, and Harry Potter bumbles his way into finding out new information without really doing much investigative work. They've made some changes to it. All of the kids have new makeovers. They've got new hip 2004, 2005 haircuts instead of just the classic Harry Potter. He's a bit more mussed up. Ron Weasley, he's got like a GQ bedhead going. Hermione's got a new hipper haircut. Malfoy, the evil Aryan child of the movie, he doesn't have that weird slick back, long twisty kind of hair going. His haircut actually got dorkier. He's got like a bowl cut that's parted down the middle. They seem to be scaling back on the evilness of Malfoy in this one. He's still a little bastard, but he seems much more impotent in his evil in this one. Pretty much every time that he tries to fuck with our heroes, he just gets embarrassed. I'm not really sure what it is. He seems to be hanging like this. This one was not as long as the others. It's a breezy 2 hours and 20 minutes, but this one felt like there was a lot of stuff cut out that didn't make any sense. I wasn't really sure. There's a scene where Harry and Hermione, and I don't remember if Ron was there or not, they come upon the Slytherin boys seemingly up to no good, and Hermione punches him in the face for calling her a mudblood. I'm not really sure what they were doing when they got there. Dumbledore seems to be transitioning to be more of like a Jerry Garcia type hippie in this movie. He still doesn't do anything. He doesn't really do any magic. He just seems to be an administrator. So still not entirely sure why everybody holds him in such high regard. The classes in Hogwarts seem a bit more pedagogically sound. They're actually doing hands-on learning. They go into their Emma Thompson's class, who's in this very briefly. I assume that she continues on. That's a pretty big actress to have for one scene. They learn how to read their tea leaves, and we find out that Harry is afflicted with the Grim. There's an evil dog thing that's after him, which we see glimpses of, but then it turns out that it's no big deal. It's just actually his good pal Sirius Black watching out for him. We've got the new teacher, very on the note. This movie loves to foreshadow things. The guy's name is Professor Lupin, and he's got claw marks across his face, and for no reason that's ever explained, Professor Snape decides to give everybody a lesson on werewolves. So it's pretty obvious that they don't really make a big thing of, oh no, there's a werewolf in the school, because I don't know. Anyway, so he's a werewolf. They've got more hands-on lessons. They do the tea reading in class. What else do they do? They learn the ridiculous spell, which means they see some scary adversary and they cast a spell to turn it silly somehow. Ron Weasley is afraid of spiders, and he does a ridiculous thing and puts a bunch of roller skates on the spider, and he's just flopping around. One of the other boys is afraid of Professor Snape, and he comes out looking all ominous, and then they poof, ridiculous. And we get to see Professor Snape in drag, so that was fun. Snape still a terrible teacher. Terrible. He needs to really get up on the educational literature. Still just his teaching method is, hey, remember that thing that we haven't learned yet? Who knows the difference between this thing and this thing? A very basic textbook piece of information that proves no skill if you just happen to know it. And of course, Hermione knows it. So Snape is a crappy teacher. I don't think it's very well explained why the werewolf lesson comes out. Snape, I don't know what the hell he was doing in this movie. We get another game of Quidditch, which takes place in a very severe thunderstorm. I think they probably should have called the game and maybe delayed it or something. But yeah, everybody's out in the thunder and lightning and rain watching Quidditch. I don't even think they tell us who won the game. It doesn't matter. For some reason, the Snitch just travels way up into the upper atmosphere for some reason. So again, everybody's down on the bottom playing the fun team sport representing their house, and Harry Potter is just flying up into space above the clouds where nobody can see him. But if he catches the little thing, then that negates everything else that the rest of the team does. But anyway, he flies up into the sky, and he gets the scary wraiths are there, and he falls down and his broom gets broken, and he falls on the ground and gets a slight scratch on his face. He even asks who won the game, and nobody tells him. I don't think they care too much about it. No house cup announced this time. They still allude to it. Gryffindor house was deducted 5 points, which is the only mention of the whole thing. Nobody seems to care. Speaking of, I've got my notes here, Professor Lupin / the werewolf keeps feeding Harry Potter pieces of chocolate, like, at least 3 times throughout the movie. That's never explained or paid off. Maybe in future movies, I don't know, but every time something bad happens to Harry Potter, he gives him a piece of chocolate, which, I don't know, that's probably maybe something that gets explained more in the books. Professor Lupin's werewolf transformation, not good. That's kind of an exciting opportunity for special effects people to do a werewolf transition. There's been many famous versions of that, and this was not one of them. It was just all CGI, and not even, but it's, the CGI is a bit better in this movie as the technology progresses, but the transformation itself was nothing terribly exciting. I've seen, there's the classic American Werewolf in London. That's kind of the gold standard. A werewolf transition that I really like happens in episode 2 of the British series. What's it called? Something Human, Being Human. I don't remember. It's a show about a werewolf, a vampire, and a ghost all living together. The episode 2 werewolf transformation is actually really good. And I'm sure they had a smaller budget than this Harry Potter movie, but anyway. Another scene of Harry, people flying around a bunch of times. I think that's supposed to be an exciting set piece in these movies, like we had the flying car. I don't know what it is. It just, seeing people, flying around on their bird creature, same as the car last time, did not give a shit. They also had a scene of Harry Potter flying around in his sweet new, the fastest broom that you can get at the end of the movie to replace his broken one, and he goes for a fly around there, and that was a bit of a dud. Yeah, this movie ends with not too much. We've got the werewolf transformation in the forest, the good Godfather Sirius Black turns into the dog, which is the thing that's been following around Harry Potter, which we were told earlier in the movie was this terrible curse called the Grim, but it's just, it's no big deal. He's actually a good guy. Anyway, they have a little bit of a fight, and then, they capture the prisoner, and they're gonna put him in jail, and he's, 'cause he's bad. So Harry and Hermione, they get to have a little side quest. In the last movie, Harry and Ron went on a little side quest while Hermione was petrified. This time, Ron broke his leg or something. I also forgot to mention, it turns out that Ron's little pet rat was actually Peter something. I forget his name. Turns out that he's the real Judas who sold out Harry's parents. Another character that I don't think that was ever mentioned before. But anyway, turns out that Sirius Black isn't the real bad guy. The real bad guy was Peter Puputi. I don't remember his last name. Who gets away anyway. The end of the movie just involves, it's kind of Avengers moment. Where Harry and Hermione travel back in time a couple hours to, you know, to change things. Not really much significantly. First, they save the big bird monster that's from one of the other classes where what's his name, Hagrid, teaches the kids how to meet this friendly giant bird in the forest, and Harry Potter gets to fly around and say woo. So anyway, that bird is going to be executed because little Malfoy was being a dick and was like, oh, Harry Potter didn't get murdered by this monster, he's no big deal. And then he walks in there looking all Aryan like and the bird scratches him on the arm, and then off screen Malfoy's dad makes a big stink, and the bird needs to be executed. Put that bird down. So they go back in time, and there's kind of a, we can't let ourselves see ourselves, and we get a reinterpretation of some, oh, it was them who threw the rocks in the window. So they save the bird's life. And basically, again, this is not anything that anybody really took any effort to find out. This is just Dumbledore basically tells them, hey, travel back in time and save more than one life. Nobody ever finds anything out. They're just told by somebody. So they go back. They save the bird's life. And then they go back into the forest with the werewolf fight and don't really change anything that happens. They're just watching it from the side. It turns out Hermione made the werewolf sound to distract him. And then on the beach with all of the ringwraiths show up, Harry Potter thought that it was his beautiful dad as a magical deer who scared them all away. But it turns out it was just Harry Potter himself. So everything plays out exactly the same, except for we save the bird's life, and then they can fly up to Sirius Black's prison cell and let him escape. And Harry Potter's like, hey, dude, let's be roommates. And he's like, yeah, never mind, not right now. And then he just leaves. I assume he's going to come back at some point. Anyway, they did time travel, and the only thing that really changed is now they can fly up to the cell to let the guy out. They don't prevent him from being arrested to begin with, or catch the Peter Poopy Pants from escaping. Anyway, is this the only way that they could have saved him from that prison cell? I don't know. At this point, after they saved him, I had to use the bathroom, and I paused the movie. And was surprised that there was only like 15 minutes left. So this big time travel prison break was the climax, I guess. And that was, like I said, it's a bit of a dud. I liked the beginning of this movie, but like nothing really happens. We don't have any new information other than, aside from obviously Voldemort, who's the real villain of the series. The guy who tattled and told Voldemort where to come murder, that guy's, we thought it was one guy, and then but it was another guy, and he's on the loose. We didn't know that there was really an accessory beforehand and never cared, and it doesn't matter. No John Cleese in this one. No nearly headless Nick. That was a bit of a disappointment. Prisoner of Azkaban. It started off good, but it lost me a bit. I'm still invested. I'm going to ride out the rest of this series. This is the first one that was not directed by Chris Columbus. His statue has been torn down. So this, they're cheaping out on directors. That might be the issue. I'm not really, they continued to, they had one, they're continuing to ratchet up the romantic tension between Ron Weasley and Hermione. Does she have a last name? I don't know. There's an accidental almost hand-holding, and they look at each other like, and Ron Weasley's sister wasn't there. I thought they were setting her up to be a love interest for Harry down the road. She doesn't even show up. Better haircuts, but much worse ending. The fight with the big snake at the end of the last one was so far the best action sequence, I think, so far in this movie. This one's a bit of a mess. And like I said in the last episode, after they sent Hagrid to the Azkaban prison briefly in the last movie, I thought this one was going to be them like having to break him out. No, that didn't happen. They had to break out another guy from a prison that they have at Hogwarts for some reason, and it wasn't really that much exciting of a prison break. It's just let's time travel back in time so that we can get a bird to fly up there and open the door. Anyway, yeah, so this one doesn't seem to really advance the story very much. Still no arc for Harry Potter. He doesn't really, I don't know, his powers are getting a bit more powerful, but a bit of a letdown. I'm not sure what the next one in the series is, but I will continue in my ceaseless quest because, people are demanding more of these podcasts. You know, we're just waiting to crack double digits of downloads. That's going to be very exciting on either of them. But anyway, you can go back and listen to the first two episodes where we do the first couple of Harry Potter movies, and I will continue. This is the third movie. We're not even halfway there yet, but I will soldier on. I'm curious to know what the fan reaction was to each of these movies. I think as I finish it, I'm gonna have to. I don't want to spoil anything. I think, you know, part of the draw of this podcast is somebody going into the series fairly cold. Aside from a few spoilers, Dumbledore's still not dead. The owl still not dead. They haven't really developed the owls much. And the familiars, the owl and the cat and the rat. Well, it turns out that the rat, Ron Weasley's rat, was a bad guy. No real advancement on the Hedwig storyline. But anyway, I was going to say, once I'm finished, I'm curious to read, like, a BuzzFeed, like, we rank all of the Harry Potter movies from best to worst. That's something I'm curious to see, how well my reaction of kind of watching these back-to-back, I wonder how that compares to the general reception of these movies, but anyway, maybe you know. And that's fun for you. Maybe I've got this all wrong, or maybe I've got the exact hack takes that everybody had when these movies came out. I don't know. I'm going to keep watching them because I've got nothing better to do. So anyway, tune in next time for This Magic Moment with John Forward, 37-year-old man watching a children's series of movies for the first time 20 years later.
Summer's night.
baby. So please.